Hello, I hope you are having a wonderful day today. You may notice that I am back in my kitchen. We are back in America. Feels good to be home. We love our time in South Africa. It's always very majestic and goes too fast, but there's also nothing like coming back home into my kitchen and having a full pantry to work with and all of my kitchen tools. So we've been back for almost a week now, and it feels so nice just to be home and do normal homemaking things. And we're so blessed because we've come home to warm, sunny weather, which I am so grateful for. We've been able to go outside, go on walks, and it's been so, so nice. So it didn't feel like such a sharp contrast of beautiful summery Africa to cold, wintry America. God has been very gracious to us with the weather, so we've been very grateful for that. Our trip home was good, so the flight home is about 16 hours, and we were so grateful. So we fly into New York from Johannesburg, and this flight was super empty, so everyone that was in economy, they put at the very back of the plane, and then they said once the seatbelt sign goes off, you can move anywhere you want within the economy section. And so Scott and I, we had the whole row to ourselves. So we had three seats to ourselves in the middle of the plane, which we were happy with. So we were like, okay, we'll just stay here, because we had a feeling that once the seatbelt sign went off, it was going to be a mad rush to all the empty rows, because there was a lot of them. So the seatbelt sign went off, and a few people got up and moved, and then eventually I had to go to the bathroom, so I get up, and once I go up to the middle of the plane, I realized there were so many empty rows. So I went back to Scott and I was like, there are two empty rows right, one in front of the other. And there was many more other than that, but I liked that there was two still open together. So we both went up there and we each got a row to ourselves, which has never happened in all of my times. This was my fifth trip to South Africa, and that has never happened. So we were so grateful, because for the first time ever, we both slept on that flight because we could lay down. I know that sounds disgusting, and my normal self would be like, ooh, you laid on airplane seats. But when you're on a flight for 16 hours and not sleeping, you'll do anything to get some sleep. And then we were also blessed with free lounge passes at the New York airport. So we had a 7-hour layover, and it was so nice. We had our own little area in this lounge, and there was a free coffee bar and buffet and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, God definitely blessed us on our travel home. So I hope that you've had a wonderful February so far. I know it's that time of year of getting ready to start garden planning, so I hope that is fun and exciting for you. I haven't started yet, but I'm getting my coconut core in tomorrow, so I order that from Uncle Jim's Worm Farm. You can get an 11-pound block of coconut core, which then you can put in a wheelbarrow, fill it up with water, and it gives you a lot of coconut core. For the past 4 years, I've used coconut core as my seed starting with some other things, but last year, because we had just bought our house and we didn't know if we were going to live here or not, and so we didn't start the garden or prepping the garden until I think it was the end of March, so we were super late with getting our garden going, that I was like, you know what, I don't have time to order the coconut core from Uncle Jim's, I'm just going to use the dirt that I have. And it was probably my worst year for starting seeds, and so I'm going back to what I've always done before, the coconut core and vermiculite, and that's always worked very well. I also am going to go ahead and start ginger and turmeric root inside of the house. I did that 3 years ago, 2021 garden season, just the ginger, and it grew very well. So I went to our little local organic shop the other day and bought a whole bunch of ginger root, and I will be breaking those off into little pieces with the nubs. That will be what starts the new plant. And they kind of look like bamboo shoots. They're very pretty, so I thought I would give that a try again, along with turmeric root, which I've never grown before, but it grows similarly to the ginger with the rhizomes and the soils. I do have garden journals coming out again. I have my paper in stock, the graph paper, and I have leather. So I am working on all of my journals. The shop is open, so if you've been wanting rooibos, the shop is back open, and I'm slowly getting to making more journals, and I'm hoping to get more journals in stock by next week. I also have some things from South Africa that I brought back, things that get requested that I bring, so I brought some stuff back, and those will also be in the shop, and I'll also share some of those things in a future video once those are up in the shop. Thank you to everyone who always buys from the shop. And today's video is going to be a little bit chill since it's my first video back in America, and I'm going to go through and answer all of the YouTube questions that I have not answered in the comment section. So if you've left a comment, thank you so much. I so appreciate it. I'm going to start with the questions on South Africa since that is most recent. I always get a lot of questions about the animals. We actually did a Q&A video about the animals on my channel with Scott we did together, so I will link that below. It's the videos with the zebras, and it's just absolutely beautiful. So if you wondered about the lions or anything else, that we answer all of that there. But the short answer is no, we don't have to worry about any dangerous wild animals because they have all been moved into nature reserves like Kruger. So if you go on a safari, you'll see them, but they don't just roam about in South Africa. And as far as the zebras go, they are like here if someone owns a donkey. You see a donkey in the field because someone bought it. So that's the same case with the zebras. Scott's family has always had zebras on their property, and it's because Scott's dad would always buy zebras, and it's just now kind of a thing. So yeah, the zebras are there because someone has bought them and put them there, although Scott and his family call them lawn ornaments because they're pretty much useless other than that they're absolutely beautiful. So yeah, if you want to hear any other questions about the animals, that video will be linked below. Another comment that I got was about the food prices. So someone actually commented that they were very demoralized after watching my video sharing the farm market stall because where they live, the food prices are outrageous, and so they were discouraged seeing what I was paying for food. But what you have to understand, and I thought that I had made it clear in that video by saying the rand to the dollar is like 18.60 per $1, that's bad. The rand is so bad because the economy in South Africa is so bad that if you live in South Africa, food is very, very expensive. The only reason it was so cheap in dollars was because the rand is so bad and the dollar goes so much further in South Africa. So my dollar comparison isn't a realistic view of how cheap food is there. It's just how cheap food is with the American dollar. So, you know, for us, it's a blessing because food ends up being far less expensive than what we would pay for here in America, but for people in South Africa, it's very expensive. And another comment that I want to make on the food thing, because again, about the topic of being demoralized about food prices, is I think in general, food has gone through the roof everywhere. Food prices have gone up so much since 2020. I mean, I look back at when I got things from Azure and I would do the Azure videos, I would write the price on the bottle or on the item as I would do my videos. And so I reuse some of those jars. So I still have some of the original prices of what I paid back in 2020 or 2021. And it's quite sad because the prices of many things have doubled. So when I first started buying from Azure, the olive oil was $28 for a gallon, and last time I looked, it was over 60 something for a gallon. So it has doubled in price. And so that is demoralizing, but I think that's where you have to start thinking of your role as a home economist as very purposeful, that our role of being a homemaker is getting to shop around and look for deals and steward the resources that we have. So right now I am running low on olive oil. And I'm like, you know what? I have plenty of avocado oil left. What are other things that I can use instead of olive oil right now? And maybe I can wait for a deal or a sale. And so managing the economy in that way, making it a game of how can you steward what you have right now so that way you can wait until another sale comes up. I think that is the beauty of buying food in bulk, especially when it's on sale, is stocking up when something's on sale. And so then you have it for the long haul. I just looked in my deep freezer last, I believe May, it could have been earlier than that, but I bought the Sierra Nevada butter from Azure was on sale. So I bought, I think it was 12 1-pound rolls for $110. And I just now pulled my last one out of the freezer. So I haven't had to buy butter in 9 months, which is a very long time to go without having to buy butter. To start thinking of our home economy in that way of how can you steward what you have right now? And then how can you also look to see what's on sale right now that maybe you can buy more of that item this month and then skip other things that aren't on sale. Think of it as a game because then it becomes almost fun of getting a good deal. So if olive oil is out of the budget for you right now, what is something else? Is it on sale somewhere? Or is there something else that you can use instead of olive oil to cook with, like coconut oil? Can you get a better price for coconut oil than you would olive oil? Doing those type of things, making buying food a game. I'm thinking about sharing our groceries, what I buy, how I buy groceries, and doing a full, like, I don't know, just an ongoing thing of how I grocery shop and what I do with the food that we buy, how we stretch our food, how I prepare our food to make it the most nutrient dense. And so I'm thinking about sharing more videos like that if that's something that you think you would like. I would love your feedback if that's something that would be useful for you. My whole point is I hope that that did not discourage you, me sharing the prices of food in South Africa, because really it was just a blessing that we got that stuff for so cheap. Another comment that I get often is about Dr. Bronner's, because sometimes I share in the laundry soap videos and in other videos, I think it was why I don't buy from Mountain Rose Herbs video, I share that we don't buy from Dr. Bronner's anymore either, and people always ask why. And my response is always just go look at their social media and you can very clearly see what they value. They're very open about their values and beliefs, and it conflicts with my Christian values and beliefs majorly. So I will not give them an ounce of my money because I think that they are blatantly against God's ways. So if you ever have a question about some place, a lot of places you can look on their social media, or you can just type in on Google their name and LGBTQ and it'll show you what they believe. I do that a lot of times with organic clothing companies. I'll just type in the name of the brand that I know sells organic clothes, type in LGBTQ, and it usually, and majority of these companies that sell organic clothes support those movements and give their money to them. And so that's why I buy from Pact, because they do not show anything about that. They may support it, but they aren't openly giving their money to them and pushing it in your face, which I appreciate. So that's why I buy all my organic undergarments from them. I have lots of clothing items from them. I do have a link with them below. I recommend waiting until they have a sale, or if you look at their clearance, that's also a really good time to buy from them, is if they have your size in the clearance section. So yeah, anytime you're trying to figure out what a company stands for, that's just a very simple way to immediately find out. I used to say shortly after 2020, just scroll back through their Instagram profile and see if they have a black box. And unfortunately, that's too far away now to scroll 4 years ago to see what they put on their profile, but that's what I used to do. And you could tell a lot from a company based off of what they did in the 2020 era. But it's a good thing to pay attention to who you're giving your money to, because a lot of times those companies are giving the money you give them to to someone else. And I think as Christians, it's important that we are good stewards with the money that God has given us. Someone has recently asked me a question about, do we still buy locally as much as possible? And I haven't really done a whole lot of videos on that, but yes, we do. We try to stick with the 80-20 principle. So actually back in 2021, January, we decided to see if we could go a full year without buying from any big box corporate owned store. So we would only be buying locally or online from a small business or a Christian business who shares our values. And we went the entire year doing that, except for the month of November, because we were in Illinois for a month for Scott's work, and there was not a local place to be found the 3 weeks that we were there. And so I had to buy from Kroger. But other than that, we went that whole year without buying from a big box place. And I only went to Hobby Lobby once or twice that year as well. So I also included Hobby Lobby in that list. And I just wanted to see if it could be done. And it was so cool because during that time, because I put limits on myself, I was able to find small businesses that I may not have found otherwise because of the convenience of shopping at other places. So I always think, even if you don't go hardcore like we did, if you just take a month to say, you know what, for this month, and I recommend it during the summer months because I feel like it's a lot easier then, but I've done April before too, and so just pick one month and see, can we only shop locally within this month? The only places we are going to shop are locally owned places. And then discover the places that you find and see how God directs your steps. For us, God has always been faithful in directing our steps in those months, and it's been so cool. The people that we met when we were in Indiana, that's how we ended up meeting our butcher, who we got all of our grass-fed meat from, was because of that month of only shopping locally. So it's good to put limits on ourselves and not allow conveniences of life to rule us, because you can see how the Lord directs our steps in our daily lives, and then we can keep our money in our local community. So we very much still do that. It is now more on an 80-20. So 80% of the time we try to shop locally. If we cannot get it locally, which there's a lot of things that you can't get locally, but if we can't get it locally, then we will shop tribally from people who share our values. And then the other 20% is life happens. Sometimes someone invites you over to their house and you need to go to the nearest grocery store to pick up whatever food you can find to bring to the house. We value community over rules like that. So we don't put hardcore stipulations on it, but it's just our go-to mindset is, can we get this locally? If so, then we will. If not, then what is the next best way to get it? So for me, I refuse to shop at Kroger. I have major issues with Kroger. And so since we've moved, we have not been into a Kroger except one time. Again, someone invited us over to their house. The only place near them was a Kroger. So we went and bought groceries at Kroger. But as far as our daily life goes, as far as choices on a daily basis, we do not shop at Kroger. But I will shop at Publix. I find that there are more values aligned for us than Kroger's is. So I think this is unique to everyone. It's based off of your own convictions. And then on top of all of that, which I think I'll do a whole video on in general, but we don't shop at Amazon. So we have not purchased anything from Amazon since 2020. And we canceled our Amazon Prime card at the end of 2019. And then in 2020, we only bought two things from Amazon. And then we were fed up, done, and yeah, we haven't bought from them since. So whenever people say, but there are some things you can only get on Amazon, I think to myself, well, conveniently, there are some things that you can only get on Amazon. You can get things anywhere, but if you're shopping for convenience, then yes, Amazon would obviously be the way to go, but we have lots of big issues with Amazon, which I will talk about in a future video, but it can be done. We are not tied down to Amazon. Amazon doesn't even exist in my world. I forget that Amazon is even a thing because it's just not a part of our life. I hope that that's an encouragement to you that it can be done and you can do it on a budget. We don't go and spend a lot of money in a lot of other places. We do believe that we can honor God with how we steward our money. And so that's one of the reasons why we choose not to give our money to a lot of big box places that we don't feel uses money in ways that honor the Lord. I hope that answers your question for the localism. I'll be doing more videos on that because it's been a while. If you came from the channel that Scott and I do together, we talked about that extensively, and I'll link those videos below if you want to dive deeper into our localism journey. We have a lot of videos on that, so I'll link those below for you. One of you asked, do you prefer life in America or life in South Africa? And I would say both. I really like life in both places. I love South Africa. It is a place that has just captured my heart. That is where I met Scott in 2016. And I actually, when we met, I was like, Lord, you have given me access to this country forever by marrying my husband. And it's funny because I think my love for South Africa, Scott has that love for America. So it's just kind of cool how God works in that way. But we definitely feel a purpose for being in America. Even coming back here, there's this settled feeling of knowing that this is where we're supposed to be. I think it's hard because every time we go to South Africa, there's this, I mean, it's so beautiful and I can't even put into words just how amazing it is, but practically on a everyday living life there would be some challenges to living there as far as making a living. Yeah, we would have to be confident and know for sure that it was God calling us to be there, and at the moment we know for sure that God is calling us to be here. But every time we've ever gone back to South Africa, there has been such grace to be there. It's that whole saying of like, where God guides, God provides, and we definitely feel that in our life. Wherever God leads us, He always provides us with the grace and mercy to be there. And then also when that time or that season's done, you can feel that time and season's done, just like coming back here now. It's like, okay, there is mercy and grace now to be back home and in America, and there's momentum and it's exciting to be back home. There is I think it's Jim Elliot. He has that quote that always comes to my mind, wherever you are, be all there. And I think maybe with our life being kind of transient, but we go back and forth to South Africa and America every 2 years, but we do try to live by that. Wherever you are, be fully present there in that moment. And I think I've really tried to apply that to my life this year. I've left my phone at home a lot more, and so I'm trying to figure that out because I love the memories of having photos and videos, but I also like not having my phone on me at all. So I've been doing a 50-50 balance of that, of deciding when to leave the phone on the table versus when to take my phone with me. And that's been really fun, not having my phone and just making memories and enjoying beauty and creation without it. And then it's also fun to be able to take videos and document it, because I think memories are always very fun to look back on. But I'm trying to keep that as a common thing, even coming back now, of trying to not take my phone with me as much, which I started last year, actually. I got convicted by one of the books that I was reading about being outside in creation more, and from reading that, I was like, you know what, I can just go walk our land without having a podcast in my ear. It's okay just to go outside and work in the garden and just listen to the birds or the cars driving by, or, you know, just not having noise fill my ears. And so that was my goal last year, and I did make a habit of it. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to keep that going. Another question that I got was on my homemaking as a career ? Video. And she said, do you not consider the shop and your YouTube/Instagram, etc. as work? It is a work, but it is not my job or something that controls me. It is actually very low on my priority list, and that's why I don't commit to saying I'm going to make a video every certain day of the week for you to see, because I don't want to put those pressures on myself. Because I think the moment that I do that, the moment that it controls me. Because if I have work that needs to be done in our daily life, if there's things that come up, if there's stuff that needs to happen in our life, and I haven't done a YouTube video, I don't want to stress about not being able to put up a YouTube video on a certain day because I've given my word that I'm going to put a YouTube video up, or I've put a financial pressure on myself that I need to be consistent with posting things. That way I keep the algorithm, and I just don't do any of that. For me, if God promotes it, God sustains it. If I promote it, then I have to sustain it. That is a quote from someone else that I'm taking, but that's always very much resonated with me. And that's kind of my feel with YouTube. It is a joy. And if I don't feel like doing it, then I don't, because I am not obligated to it in any way. If I felt I was supposed to get rid of it tomorrow, I would. That was the case with Instagram. My Instagram account was kind of growing pretty well, and then I got off of it for a year, which is, like, according to all of the business gurus who tell you how to grow your Instagram, that's the worst possible thing that you could ever do. But that was my conviction, was to get off of it. And I'm so grateful for the time, for the year that I was off of it. And so, yeah, I don't care about following certain rules for doing things if I don't feel that that is what I should be doing. No condemnation to anyone who does do those things. Some people like having that strict schedule of every certain day of the week, I'm going to put a video up, and some people need that and they feel a conviction to do that. So everyone has their own conviction about it, but for me, I don't want to be controlled by this at all. I want it to be a place of overflow and a place of blessing, not out of obligation. I never want to make videos or post anything because I feel obligated to. My online shop is also the same way. If life is busy, then I'm not going to be making journals to put in it. And just like going to South Africa, I turned the shop off. Why? Because we're not dependent upon my shop. It is a place of overflow. It's a place of joy. And I hope that it's a place of blessing. One of the main reasons that I have a shop is because I remember back in 2021, we were living in Indiana and I needed to buy a gift for someone. And I tried finding a gift in our local area, and all of the places had, I think it must have been around June, because all the places had like rainbow stuff, and I was like, I am not buying from any of these places that are pushing propaganda that I disagree with. And I realized in that moment the importance of Christians putting out valuable things so that way we can support and buy from each other. I hope to make nice and beautiful things, or offer nice and beautiful things that I like, that hopefully will bless you if you decide to buy them. But again, it doesn't rule me or control me. And that's just my own journey and conviction with it at the moment. My first role is to being a helper to my husband, and by me doing those things, I am helping my husband, but that is my first priority, and to be a keeper of my home, to run and manage my home. And another thought along that line, I have this book that, it's actually a book series that one of you guys gave me years ago, and it's the Summa Domestica series by Layla Lawler, and I just got those back out. They blessed me so much. About 2 years ago, I read through them, and it was so encouraging, and when we got back, I pulled them back out, and I've started again from book number one. And the first chapter of book number one, she talks about the home being a place of order and wonder. And that thought encouraged me so much, of the home is a place of order and wonder. And in order for there to be wonder, there needs to be order. And she's mainly talking about with kids, but I very much related to it because I thought, okay, you know what? As far as my day goes, I want to create order in the mornings so that way the rest of my days can also be filled with wonder. My friend Alina, she's from England. Oh, she has a YouTube channel that is so good. I'm gonna link it below. She has a YouTube channel, and in it she says that homemaking is her first priority, and then next comes her hobbies. And that's always resonated with me, of if I get my work done in the home, then I can work on my hobbies, which for me, making journals is a hobby. It's fun. And same thing with the Layla Lawler thing, of if I can get the housework done, I know what I'm making for dinner, for meals, I can get the laundry done, I can get all of the things, bills, all of that stuff. If I can get that done sooner, then I can then work on the wonder side of things, which would be my shop or YouTube channel or, you know, all of those other things that aren't first priority but are still fun. Last question is about the herbalism stuff. I actually have two questions on this. One was, what is the course that I took? The other one is, would I ever be willing to make videos on the basics of herbalism, which I said that I was going to do, and then we got ready to go to South Africa and I never did it. So yes, I do plan on making videos on all of the herbal things that I do, making salves, tinctures, oils, all of that stuff. I want to do a step-by-step video. I do have videos that I've done in the past on herbs, on mostly on Scott and I's channel, but I want to do more consistent with those of things that I've learned. And the course that I took was Rosemary Gladstar's The Art and Science of Herbalism, or Science and Art of Herbalism course, which when I bought it in February 3 years ago. It was on sale, and I think I got it for $180 to $230, one of those, and I bought the online course and then the actual book of everything, the booklets. And so I got the big thing in the mail, which I'm glad that I did, because now I have that for the rest of my life. But I recently looked, I think in the fall, of how much that course is now, and I think it's over $500. So I would not recommend buying it, because I wouldn't recommend buying most courses. I've done a video on why I wouldn't recommend buying most courses, but I think most courses are people who put together information that you could have looked up, but instead you let someone else put it all together for you. That is most of the time. That is not all the time. I think that there is a place for honoring someone who's created something that you've already gotten value from them. I think that's fine. Which was my thought process behind buying the Rosemary Gladstar course back when I got it, was, you know, I value her. I appreciate the heart and soul that she's put behind herbalism work. She is kind of weird. She's not a Christian, but I can still learn a lot from her, and I have learned a lot from her. But I think that you can learn a lot about herbalism from not buying her course. I actually talked to Dawn Combs, who I recommend so many of her herb books. She has the book Heal Local and Conceiving Healthy Babies. She is wonderful. I met her at her shop in Columbus, Ohio, which I don't think she has her soda shop anymore, but that's where I met her, I think, 3 years ago, and I was talking to her about it, and she was telling me that the best way to learn about herbs is to grow them yourself and to do the thing. It's not just studying about them, watching other people do stuff on them. It's you doing stuff yourself and seeing what works for you, because it works different for everyone, and seeing what you like and what you enjoy. And that really resonated with me, because that was my experience with the course. So much of it was online, writing, filling out stuff. You get so absorbed into learning that sometimes I feel like if you're not actually doing the things you're learning, then you're not learning anything. You're just telling yourself you're learning stuff because you've taken a course, but you're not applying anything. So it would be far better to bring it back down to the very basic things of, what do you need? What is it that you want to do? Do you want to make a facial oil for cleansing your face? Then look that thing up. Do you want to make cough drops for if someone has a cough in your family? Then look that up. Do you want to make immune boosting tinctures or fire cider? Then look that up. If you want to grow specific herbs that you can then harvest yourself, buy an herb book and see what each specific herb does and see what resonates with you of, yeah, I actually feel compelled. I want to grow this thing. That's far better than just staring at a computer and thinking that you're learning something because you know it in your head, but you've never actually applied it. So I'm not a huge proponent of buying an herb course, because I think there is an abundance of knowledge in many books that are already out there, which cost about $30. When these courses cost over $500. So that's my thoughts on the courses. So we'll end this video here. This will be turned into podcast. If you don't know, I will link our podcast below. Everything that Scott and I do together and on this channel, that everything that I share gets turned into podcast. That way you don't have to sit and watch it, but you can listen to it as you do other things. And I hope and pray that it is a blessing to you. If you have any other questions that you want me to cover, please feel free to leave them below and I can do a follow-up Q&A video if that's helpful for you. I hope that this has blessed you and encouraged you, and I bless the rest of your day. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can support our channel by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, or if you would like to purchase from our shop, our website is homewithkelly.co. We have organic rooibos that we bring in from Scott's home country of South Africa. It is a delicious, no caffeine tea, loose leaf. It is so good, iced or warm. And I also have some vintage home goods in the shop, and I make some hand-bound journals, which are also available. We hope that everything that we share is an encouragement and a blessing to you and your family.